Roswell, Georgia. No stranger here, but he needs your prayers. God bless you.
This is the word of God found in Galatians chapter 3, verses 28 and 29. Galatians 3, 28 and 29. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. This has been such a blessed meeting. It has been a season of contentment for me, just as Brother Larry was preaching. I don't spend much of my life content. It's a shortcoming in faith. But this has been a season of contentment. And so good to hear these dear brothers preach. So good to hear the great singing, heartfelt prayers, good fellowship. It's just something that helps me go on. Come see us at Union Church. We sure love to have visitors there. Sure have appreciated many of you visiting in days past. The Holy Spirit of God inspires the Apostle Paul to write these words. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. This doesn't mean there's no such thing as a Jew or a Greek, or there's no such thing as a male or female, or there's no such thing as bond or free. But it means that's not the primary consideration. It's not who you are. Who am I? If I peel back all that I pretend to be and all that I'm trying to be, what's really there down deep? I'll ask you the same question. If I were to get past everything you're pretending to be and everything you're trying to be, who's the real you that I would find? And I think those questions are some of the most important questions we can ask and try to answer in our little short sojourn while on earth. Who is God? Who am I? And what would that God have me to do? Who is God, really? Who am I, really? And who would the real God, what would the real God have the real me do? That's one of the early things Paul asked when he met the Lord Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus as a young man with authority to go to Damascus and arrest those that were Christian fellowship disciples and bring them bound. And then he met Jesus Christ, a bright light. He was on the ground there. The people around him were amazed, hearing his voice, but seeing no man for him to speak with. And that was the first question that the Apostle Paul, who was named Saul of Tarsus at that time, he asked, "Who art thou, Lord?" He recognized a master there because he called him Lord. Recognize one who had power, who had control, who was a source of light, one that demanded respect, one that was due obedience. All of that was right in that moment. You know, there was a lot taught in his heart at that moment, wasn't it? You know, the Lord doesn't need a long process to cause his children to be born again. He speaks the word and they live. And you know, in that period, there are some things taught. You might not know the name, you might not know where the church is, you might not know the scripture, but you know it's the Lord. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord filled in some more information at that point. I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Notice he didn't say, It has been hard for thee to kick against the pricks. He said, it is right now hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Now, that doesn't preclude that it might have been, but he didn't say that. He said, it is. He was dealing with his present condition. So there, Paul had that first important question answered. Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord established his identity. For Paul, he said, I am Jesus of Nazareth. And then Paul had his second question. Lord, what wouldst thou have me to do? And that's the next most important question. After you get the identity thing straightened out, the next question is activity. What activity should I engage in to be obedient to you who are the Lord? And you know, this went with Paul all his life. When he was an old man and he was in the middle of a storm at sea on his way from Caesarea, east coast of the Mediterranean, up to Rome to appeal to Caesar, he told the folks, don't leave Crete. We're going to run into some bad weather. I'm counseling you to stay here. But the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than the prisoner. And so off they sailed from Crete, thinking it was a nice soft wind. And then they ran into another wind. It was so bad they had a name for it, Euroclydon. That storm was so bad, after a while they threw out the tackling of the ship to make it lighter. And after a long period of time, they saw neither sun nor stars, had no feasible way to navigate. It says all hope that we should be saved was gone. And about this time, up on deck comes the prisoner, the Apostle Paul. And he says, be of good cheer. Sometimes the gospel just sounds weird, doesn't it? Here you are struggling with the things you are in your life, and I don't know what they are. I might know a few of them. Got some good friends here. There's some folks here struggling with health. There's some folks here struggling with finance. There's some folks here struggling with marriage. There's some folks here struggling with children. There's some folks here worried about grandchildren. There's some pastors here worried about their churches. There are some members here worried about their pastor. There's some things that would just nearly break your heart. And for somebody to come up on deck in the pulpit and say, be of good cheer, boy, you better be ready for a reason. How about this one, given by the Lord Jesus Christ? These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. That's about the best I know to tell you to be of good cheer. And the Apostle Paul said, be of good cheer. For this night, the angel of the Lord, whose I am and whom I serve. Notice those two questions were still with him. What's the identity? He had established the identity of the Lord. I'm Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. But now he's telling who he is. Who was the Apostle Paul? Did he think of himself as his gift in the church, the great apostle? Did he think of himself of his education, student of Gamaliel? Did he think of himself in terms of citizenship? Citizen of Tarsus and therefore a Roman citizen? Nope. He says, here is my identity. I belong to God. Amen. That's who I am. This night, the angel of God, whose I am. I'm the Lord's property. I'm the Lord's possession. I'm the Lord's child. You want to get down and peel off all the layers? Want to take away the time when I'm no longer on this earth exercising the gift of the apostle? Want to take away the time when Roman citizenship matters? Want to take away the time when that education I got in Jerusalem matters? Want to get rid of all that and get right down to what lasts forever? I am God's. I am His little child. I'm His possession. I'm His property. And what do I do while I'm here on earth? Whose I am and whom I serve. Whose I am is God's property. What I do is serve God. And brothers and sisters, I hope every one of you, and I hope me most of all, will come to that same conclusion. The angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, stood by me and said, fear not, Paul, for thou must arrive safe in Rome, and behold, I've given thee all that sail with thee. Now, a lot of times, We have trouble keeping this matter of our identity, who we are, and what we're to do. It's hard to keep a focus on it. And there's a reason. This world tries to draw your focus away. Notice what Paul wrote here. There's neither Jew nor Greek. That's your ethnicity. Now, we still have lots of questions in this world today about ethnicity, because this world, being fallen and drifting away from the Scripture, overemphasizes it. You know, whether you're black or white or Asian or Pacific Islander or Aleutian, or I expect to see more categories come in soon. You know, it may be Tutsi and Hutu. It may be French and Belgian. You know, it may be all of these things coming in. And you know, the form of your ethnicity gets longer and longer. Check one of these blocks. Brothers and sisters, not only is that not scriptural, it's not scientific. Human genome studies show very little difference in genetic that tracks with color or physical features. We are a whole lot more alike than anybody ever thought. Amen. And you know, this society wants to balance out so many things. Identity, racial identity, or twisted notions of sexual orientation or gender fluidity and all these things. It only serves to divide us from our brothers and sisters. That's the nature of the society, and we're going more that direction. Got to balance everything out. Got to watch out. There's all kind of prejudices. There's all kind of... Brothers and sisters, we are much more alike in that regard than we are different. And when you look at it from a scriptural point of view, it's barely even registering compared to our relationship with the Savior Jesus Christ. It's something that lasts a short time. If this life is a vapor, how much less is our ethnicity? You know, we think of so many important things: black, white, Hispanic, Aleutian, Pacific Islander. This one was bigger than all of them, Jew or Greek. This is one that was actually put in place for a period of time by God Himself. All these rest that we're recognizing right now in 21st century America is man-made. It's divisive, it's harmful, it shouldn't matter. There should never have been slavery. There should have never been any Jim Crow laws. There ought not to be any affirmative action. There ought not to be those checking those blocks on the forms. There ought not to be any of that if we got to Scripture. That doesn't matter. But now, Jew or Greek actually mattered for a while. God revealed His truth of how He would be worshipped to one little bitty nation for a few centuries, because that nation was going to bring forth His only begotten Son, and the way that nation would worship would point to what that Son would do. But now, with a further revelation, God didn't change. God's the same all the time. But with the further revelation that Son did indeed come, and He died in the darkness on the cross to save all His people from all lands, there's no more Jew or Greek. Middle wall and partition is broken down. He saves one just like He saves the other, by the blood of His only begotten Son. Jew or Greek is a secondary consideration. Bond nor free, that speaks of your social status, of your class. Think of how this world's trying to divide God's children now. Are you jealous of the 1%? I'll tell you what, there are people that are making careers off promoting the jealousy of the 1% right now. Brothers and sisters, God causes some to be prosperous and some that are poor. And you know, that's a secondary matter. We just heard it preached. Be content with such things as you have, so that you may boldly say, "The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do unto me." It's a secondary matter whether somebody's got the biggest house in the town or where somebody's having trouble paying the rent. It makes it hard for some folks. It's hard to know to keep your loved ones from being kidnapped if you're wealthy. And it's hard to where are you going to live when you're scrambling together to get rent money. But brothers and sisters, that's a minor thing compared to the questions of real identity. There's neither male nor female. What's the first question we ask when we hear that a new baby is born? You know, it ought to be our mother and child well, and sometimes we think enough about it to that, but typically it's, is it a boy or a girl? Because I want to know whether to buy a blue gown or a pink gown, send for a gift, blue blanket or a pink blanket. And we should recognize that physically that's the bodies that we have now. But the Lord said in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God. Now today, the society we live in has confused it even more. You got the idea of gender fluidity. You can switch from one to the other and all kind of things on the spectrum. Brothers and sisters, that's not Bible. And even the ones that have been established in the Bible, male and female, that's just for a short time. You know, people think, I've got to be who I am. I got to be who I am. I'm in the body of a man, but I really feel like a woman. Even if everybody in the world stood up and say, okay, we agree with that, we'll recognize it, that's still not who you are. And it's not going to make you happy to declare that and get everybody to agree with it. It's not going to give you peace because it's not who you are, even if everybody in the world says that. Who you are is not your gender, is not your social status, is not your race, is not your ethnicity, is not your nationality. If you get rid of all of those layers, who you are depends on your relationship with one being, Jesus Christ. And he's the one that puts that relationship in place, because we would never do it on our own. Now, sometimes who we are gets confused because the prince of this world, the devil, confuses it. He comes and says, okay, let's peel back those layers. I'll take your challenge. I know what you're pretending to be. I know what you want people to think you are. I'm going to peel back that layer, and I know about your sins. I know about your shortcomings. I know what you've done. You haven't told anybody. And at that point, he's got you agreeing because you say, prince of this world, you're right. I've fallen so short. I've done so bad things. I wouldn't want people to know about it. Obviously, you know about it. I know about it. Maybe you're right. Maybe that's who I am. Brothers and sisters, respectfully, he's powerful, he's mighty, he's clever, he's been around 6,000 years, but he is a liar. Amen. He is a liar. You know, the Apostle Paul took him up on that challenge in Romans chapter 7. Those things which I would do, those I do not. Those things which I would not, those I do. So then, if I therefore do that which I would not, it's no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Paul says, okay, prince of this world, let's peel back that layer. I'm trying to be an apostle. I'm trying to serve the church. But we know I persecuted the church. We know I compelled people to blaspheme. We know all that. Let's peel back that layer one more time. Let's peel back that layer and get down to something deep and something right at the center of my being. And I delight in what God commands. I delight in God. I like a children's poet, Shel Silverstein. Some of you may have read some of his poems. Some of them pretty ridiculous. He wrote The Giving Tree. Might have read that little book. He wrote one poem my children liked. I can't quote it all. It was called Fear. Barnabas Browning was afraid of drowning, so he wouldn't swim or get in a boat or take a bath or get in a moat. And on and on. And he said, and he was so afraid that he closed himself up in his room and he cried so many tears that he drowned. They thought that was something. But he's got another one about a zebra. He says, I asked the zebra, are you white with black stripes or are you black with white stripes? And the zebra said to me, are you good with bad habits or are you bad with good habits? Are you neat with some sloppy ways or are you sloppy with some neat ways? And on and on and on he went. He said, I'll never ask a zebra about stripes again. That's a serious question, though. Are you a bad person with some good habits? Or are you a good person with some bad habits? One before regeneration, is a bad person with maybe some good habits. The Lord said that about the hypocrites that were the Pharisees. You appear as whited sepulchres, beautiful indeed outward, but within you're full of corruption and dead men's bones. But a child of God, one that delights in the law of God after the inward man, one that's poor in spirit, one that mourns, one that hungers and thirsts after righteousness. There may be some pretty bad things on the outside. There may be some pretty bad things the church doesn't know about. But you peel away every layer, and at the bottom, the Scripture says, you delight in the law of God after the inward man. That's who you are. Do not let the enemy of God's people, the accuser of the brethren, remember that's what the Bible calls him, do not let him that is a liar and the father of it tell you that when you peel away your desire to show love to church folks, that there's a sinner in here that they better not ever find out about. You go right down to what the Bible says is at the bottom. One who hungers and thirsts after righteousness, blessed are you, and you shall be filled. That's who you are. Many times we can get our identity mixed up because churches want to do that. You know, you run in and say, well, let's have a worship service for the older folks and the middle aged and for the youth. Let's have one for the men, let's have one for the women. Let's have one for the married, and let's have one for the single. And you know, it almost starts communicating the idea that who you are depends on your age group or your marital status. And brothers and sisters, I enjoy it when sisters in the church get together and they go do something that the brothers would rather not come within 10 miles of anyway. I've had a good time when some of the brothers of the church, we got out back and we were building a fence at the back of that. And you know, we got to turning and burning. They got the power saws going, you know, got the nails, got the paint thing. It was a blessed time. When it comes to the worship of the Lord, doesn't matter how old you are, what gender you are, what marital status you are, you know what matters? If you love the name of Jesus Christ the Lord, let's all do that together. Well, what about making it so the children can understand? Just preach simple. How about that? Let's do it that way. And let's help each other. Let's ask questions. Let's have questions and answers, you know. It can be after service. It can be informal. If you want to set a time and place, you can do that. There's liberty, but don't divide us up. Let's stay together. Let's remember who we are, who God is, and then last, what would He have us to do? Now there's a lot in that we've been hearing. He would have us to be content with such things as we have. He would have us following Jesus Christ. And so He would have us, if you haven't been yet, baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters, there are four wonderful churches represented here. And Piney Grove and Palm Chapel and St. Andrews and Bethel. If you haven't been baptized into one of those churches yet, and you know that it's a church that where love is and where things are cut straight, if you want to know what He'd have you to do, I can say with pretty good confidence, He'd have you be baptized as a member, submit yourself to their discipline, and join yourself to their love, and add your gifts to their effort, and be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've done that, and somebody's hurt you, and you haven't forgiven them, recognize they hurt you, they owe you something, but you're not going to collect, you're going to leave that in the Lord's hand, go on with your life, and I would urge you to do that. I'd urge you to be generous. I would urge you to be studious. I would urge you to be prayerful. We can go on and on. There's a New Testament that tells you what should you do. The Lord told Paul going into Damascus, and that ended up with his baptism, by the way. But let's ask those questions first. Who is God? He is from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord Jesus Christ, who saved His people and who's coming back one day. Who are you? You are His possession. You are His child. You are His property. You are His loved one. You know, when you retire from your work and you're no longer having that career, if family falls apart, if you go through a divorce, if your children move off, if your friends don't communicate with you anymore, you're still His. If you find yourself with some bad habits, you need to get out of substance abuse, and I would encourage you to do that. You need to break a porn addiction. I would encourage you to do that. That's wrong. You do all that. You are not defined by your sin. You're defined by your relationship with your Savior. Amen. And that's the reason you can repent from sin. Kingdom of Heaven's right at hand. We've got the ability to do that because of who He is and who you are. And you get those two questions straight, please ask the last one quick. Lord, what would you have me to do? And I'm confident part of that answer is to be a follower of the one who's put that relationship in place by His grace, our Savior Jesus Christ. May God bless you.